Turn with me, please, this morning to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And while you're doing that, let me just remind everyone, this is Thanksgiving season. And as we have for many, many years in our community, we have a community Thanksgiving Eve service on Wednesday evening from 7 to 8 o'clock. And this year, it's being held at Starting Grounds Church. Pastor RJ has invited us there, and our speaker is Pastor Corey Finstad from Bethel Lutheran Church will be our speaker. A number of our pastors will be there, and we hope you can make plans to be there. The service runs from 7 to 8 o'clock. We take an offering for the food bank. It's always a blessing. I think it was over $800 last year, the offering was for the food bank. So in your planning, in your schedule, if you're able to come, I know it would be great to join together with people from the other churches in our area. I think we have 16 or 17 churches that are sponsoring this event, so we appreciate your considerations in possibly coming to that on Thanksgiving Eve. It's a great service to be together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to read verses 16 through 18. However, we will be in a number of verses in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. We used to sing an old song. It's old now. It's not contemporary anymore, but we used to sing, it was called Shine, Jesus, Shine. As a matter of fact, it was one of the first songs we sang in the building when we officially moved in. It was pretty popular there, written by a man from England, and the whole essence of the song is that believers need to shine in a dark world. How many believe that, right? We need to shine with our lives. We need to shine with our reactions and our speech and who we are and what we are in this world that we live in. And that's really what chapter 4 is talking about. Paul is talking about the importance of our Christian witness in the world we live in light of the fact that things may not be easy. And again, he's writing from that perspective of someone who has experienced all the things that he's talking about, but he still speaks in very victorious terms. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, please. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. The outward man is perishing. How many of us know today the outward man is perishing? Okay, come on, don't be in denial. How many know it's perishing? It's not going to last forever. These bodies were never designed to last forever. And we need to understand that. But the inward man, how many know there's something inside of this outward physical body that can live forever, right? Is our spirit and our soul to live with the Lord. It is being renewed day by day. And I love the picture that this gives. This idea that our bodies are slowly getting older and everything that comes with that, but inside, it's like our spirit and our soul are getting younger and younger and younger. And I'm finding that true in my life. The more my body says I can't, inside me says I can. And sometimes my body wants, or my mind wants to prove it to my body, and that's when I get in trouble. For our light affliction, verse 17, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our light affliction, probably talking about everything that Paul has gone through in his life up to that point, he calls it a light affliction. How dare him say that? In light of what you might be going through. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Verse number 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. But at the things which are, for the things which are seen are temporary. Everything we can look around us and see, everything we see around us are temporary. Everything you own, everything you possess, this beautiful world that we live in. It is temporary because we can see it. But there are those things that are eternal, and those are the unseen things. Those will go on forever and ever and ever. So there is something inside the believer. Those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, do your best to live for Him. There's something inside of the believer that enables him or her to live different in this troubled world that we live in. And the world has always been troubled. There's never been a time when there hasn't been trouble. Even in the very beginning, when our Adam and Eve were in the world and everything was perfect, they had everything they needed, everything they wanted, the idea of paradise, that everything was perfect and happy, there was still trouble, and he was slithering around in a tree. Amen? So we have always had that. But there's something inside the believer that gives us the ability to live different in this troubled world. And that something is the presence of God through His Holy Spirit. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior and you're living for Him, there is inside of you the presence of the Holy Spirit. God's presence, if you will. We call it the Holy Spirit, a third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is living in us, and it's by His power that He is helping us live out our lives for Christ in the face of anything that may come our way. We can live it out. We can live out our faith in Christ, irregardless of what comes our way. Little wonder that Paul could write in Philippians 4:13, I can do what? Say it again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. Doesn't matter what it is. If God requires it of me, I can do it through Christ that strengthens me. Not in my own power, not in my own ability. Most of which I can't do on my own, but because Christ lives in me, then I can do all things through Christ who is in me through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, in verse 7, let's go to verse 7, 2 Corinthians 4:7. Excuse me. Look what Paul writes before we deal with these other scriptures we read earlier. He says in verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, this treasure. He's talking about this presence of the Holy Spirit. He's talking about this power in us that helps us live out our life in this world. Paul calls it a treasure, and so it is. It's a treasure. He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, referring to our bodies, reminding that we are made out of the dust of the earth. We all understand the Genesis story, that we were created from the dust of the earth. God breathed into us, and man became a living soul when God breathed into us the breath of life, etc. So we are of this earth, Paul says, earthly. We have it in earthen vessels. And these earthen vessels hold this treasure of the presence and the power of God. What is that treasure that is within us? There's a number of things within us. And to me, these are a treasure. The ability to love someone, that is a treasure. How many would agree? Boy, you folks are just a little slow today. I'm gone one Sunday. And you just, come on. Amen? Amen? All right, here we go. Let me move on. The ability to love someone is something we can't do in ourselves. Oh, we can love those who love us. You're probably sitting by someone who loves you, and it's real easy to love them back. But what about those people who don't love you? How many know that's hard to do, right? It's hard to do. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can love them. And even sometimes it's a little hard even to love those who love you. All right. I don't want to meddle today at all, but so maybe I won't. But we can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a treasure, the ability to love someone, the ability to forgive someone. That's a treasure. Anybody here ever had to forgive somebody of something they did to you? All right. About half of you. Well, the other half, get ready. Your time is coming. The ability to forgive someone. Do we know how sweet that treasure is to forgive someone? Do we know how releasing that is and freeing that is to be able to forgive someone that has offended us or hurt us or said something bad about us? To be able to forgive them, that is a treasure that we can't do in ourselves, but we possess that treasure in these earthen vessels. And sometimes these earthen vessels are real weak at expressing that. Sometimes it's hard to get the words out. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Let's try it together. I'm sorry. Look at someone near you and say, I'm sorry. Let's practice. I'm sorry. All right? Sometimes it's hard to get those words out because we are in earthen vessels. But because of the treasure that's in us, we can do that. We can say, I'm sorry. And I can hear someone, you're thinking so loud, I can hear you up here. You're saying, but what if it wasn't my fault? Well, you're absolutely right. That's right. It's not your fault. You hold your ground. And you just hold out until they admit it was their fault. Go ahead and enjoy the rest of your life. Sometimes we need the ability to say, I'm sorry, even when it's not our fault, in order to get the process started, right? 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 This treasure, the ability to love, the ability to forgive, the ability to have compassion, the ability to feel something for someone that's going through something, rather than just blatantly walk past and imagine and pretend it's not happening. The ability to have compassion is a treasure in earthen vessels. And as little as being kind, that's a treasure. The ability to be kind to someone. To be kind. Sadly, sometimes we can be kind to a total stranger, but it's hard to be kind to people that we live with every single day. Come on. Amen. I told you I was meddling. All right. Sometimes it's easier to be kind to someone we don't know more than it is someone we do know. But how many know kindness is a treasure, and it's in these earthen vessels, and we need to be able to be kind to people, right? Be kind. So all of these encouragements, all of these treasures, encouraging words, etc., we could go on and on and on, but they are treasures in earthen vessels. Earthen vessels that I think literally the translation in some of your versions in verse 7 is, we have this treasure in cracked pots, all right? Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a cracked pot. It's not an insult. Come on, the truth will set you free. Amen? If you're sitting by someone now and you're not at the end of this message, I'll know you haven't forgiven them or whatever. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Earthen vessels are cracked pots, so the light of Jesus can shine through. But it also shows our weaknesses. It shows that as earthen vessels, we don't always do things the right way. We don't always say things the right way. We don't always perform the way we should because we are in earthen vessels. We need to always remember that we are wrapped in the robes of flesh, and flesh is subject to failures and misunderstandings and all of this. I've never aspired, ever, I've never aspired to speak in Washington, D.C., in the House of Representatives or the Senate. But I'll tell you, somebody ought to preach this message to them. Amen? Come on. Amen. Thank you. Somebody ought to preach this message to them, understanding that we are all earthen vessels. And I don't care what initial you have by your name, whether it's an I, an R, or a D. We all need to understand that we are earthen vessels. And we are cracked, and we are broken, and we are marred, and we are scarred, and we are hard by the events of life. It does that to us. But that's why that treasure inside of us is so valuable. Because that treasure, that Holy Spirit inside of us, can help us overcome all of these things that life does to us. Statistically, and this is the statistics that come from studies that have been done, I, of all people, shouldn't be standing up here talking to you about these things. Statistically, I ought to be a hard, bitter, resentful man who secludes himself away and is done with the world, statistically. If you measure all of the life events, this is how they measure those. You measure all the life events that has happened to me through my life. The statistics say I ought to be at the bottom of the barrel and the dredge of humanity because of everything that has happened to me from my young life on through my teen years. And yet I'm not, and it's not because of me. It's because of the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of me. Amen. That's why I can get up here, not perfect at all. I'm not perfect. If you want to know that, ask Cheryl, my wife. She'll tell you. And she'll say, oh, he's not perfect. Let me just go down the list. All right? It's not because I'm perfect. And you could say the same thing. Many of you would be right there with me if we followed the statistics. But you see, God has a way of just blowing the statistics out of the water. And it's called amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amen. These earthen vessels, the scars, the bruises, the cracks, the scarred, the marred, the hard, if you will, by the events of our life. If we let them, they can turn us into something we don't want to be. But we need to always remember that we have a treasure inside of us that God says, I want that to shine out. Look at verses 8 and 9, please. He says, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. These are some of the things that mar, scar, and harden these outward vessel, these treasures, if you would. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. This is a tough foursome aimed at us. Paul says this is what we've gone through. Speaking of himself and most of the believers alive at the time that he wrote this. But it's very applicable to believers even to this day. Let's look at them closely. Number one, we are troubled on every side. That's what Paul said. In his day, in those early days of that first century, we are troubled on every side. How many would agree we could say that today, right? There is trouble on every side. You look across the nations. Someone said, I heard on the news yesterday, I think I was listening to the news, and there are at least 17 known conflicts going on right now, known conflicts, and the money invested in those known conflicts, if that money didn't have to go to those known conflicts around the nations of the world, we could feed the entire world on that money. But it's being being wasted because of conflicts. And where do those wars and conflicts come from? The book of James tells us they come from our unwillingness to love and have mercy and forgive. It's that human side of us. We are troubled on every side, Paul said, when we bring it down to where we are right here. You might be able to say, that's me, I'm troubled on every side. I have some physical problems going on with my physical body. I have some emotional problems maybe challenging me. I've got some financial problems that are facing me. I've got some other challenges. You could almost, with Paul, some of you could say, I'm troubled on every side. Now, that may not be everybody. You might be here today and you may say, no, I'm pretty well, I don't have any troubles at all. And I say, thank God, can I give you some of mine? Because we ought to share. No. We are troubled on every side. For the most part, I think, though, if everyone in this room was honest, you would say with Paul, yeah, that pretty well describes me. On every side, there seems to be trouble. And yet, what does Paul say about it? We are not distressed. We're not going to give in to the trouble. There may be troubles on every side, yet we are not distressed. We are troubled on every side. Then he says, we are perplexed. I looked at that one really close last night. One version says crushed. I'm sorry, perplexed. I looked at that one closed, and I said, boy, that That's one today. I'm perplexed about some things I don't have the answers for. But Pastor, you're supposed to have all the answers. You're looking at a pastor who doesn't have all the answers. But I know the one who does. Amen? And he may not show me all those answers before eternity, but I know he's got them. He says, we are perplexed. That's what Paul said. But we are not in despair. We don't let the perplexing events of our day bring us into despair. Because we can very easily slip into despair if we allow ourselves to do that. The third one, he said, we are persecuted. Persecuted. If that were true of Paul, and it was, we are finding it true here today. In our world that we live, we are persecuted. There was a time in my ministry, and I've been in the ministry, Cheryl and I have been in the ministry for 45 years, married, and 3 years before that. She had a ministry as a young person, and I had ministry as a young person. And there was a time when I could truly say that in America, there was really no persecution of Christians. I want to tell you, that has changed. That has changed. We used to see persecution other places, and we could point to nations where persecution occurred. But my friends, we have arrived. The train has arrived at this station. We are having persecution of Christians in America today. Come on, we are. And it was told me when I was a teenager, if you're not ready for persecution as a Christian, are you really ready for Jesus to come again? And that really struck a chord in my heart and said, Lord, I want to be ready if I'm ever persecuted for my faith. You've heard me tell the story, but because I'm older, I can do it again. Of how as a young teenager on the rest area coming up outside of Portland getting ready for a youth rally, I went into a rest area to change clothes from my clothes to a suit. And how the tall gentleman stood in the doorway with his two companions and watched me. No one else was in the restroom. And I saw my life flash before my eyes. A man with a long black trench coat, black hat, crumpled up hands. And as I got ready to leave, he stopped me and he said these words, "Are you a Christian?" And the two guys standing beside him was shorter than he was, but they were taller than me. And you don't know how bad I wanted to say no. Because I knew that, I thought, man, here it comes. Are you a Christian? But with the power of the Holy Spirit, I said, yes. I'm a born-again Christian. I love Jesus with all my heart. And I'm going to a youth rally, and I need to really get going. And he reached out his crumpled hand. His hand was huge. And he reached out toward my throat. And I thought, this is it. It's over. And his hand went down and shook mine. And he says, congratulations. I just wanted to see if you would be willing to stand for your faith. And then he told me his story of being a member of the Hell's Angels by a motorcycle gang in a wreck, in a hospital room, and told God, if you'll save my life, I'll serve you for the rest of my life and be a witness for you. His name was David Mayo, and I'll never forget him because he and his two companions said, that's our ministry. We get people alone and ask them the question, are you a Christian? And if they say no, we lead them to Jesus. And he said, we don't leave till they accept Jesus. Persecution. Now that's not persecution, but I want to tell you, we face it today. But we are not forsaken, praise God. My point, friends, I couldn't do that in myself. It was the power of the Holy Spirit in me that could do that. We may be persecuted, but we are not destroyed. Amen? Amen. I need to hurry. Fourthly, he said, we are cast down. but not destroyed. Persecuted, not forsaken. We are cast down, not destroyed. The idea of cast down, probably struck down, has some reference to the boxer that is on the mat, but gets back up again, perhaps, or maybe a sheep that is cast that can't get up without the help of the shepherd. But at any point, sometimes Christians get down, but when you get down, you're not destroyed. We need to get back up. Amen? All right, in the next couple moments that I have, look with me in verse 16. Let me quickly go through the original text that I read. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. The scars prove it, that the outward man is perishing. But the strength inside us assures us the inner man is being renewed day by day. The outward man, this physical body, you that are younger, you know, this probably doesn't make a lot of sense to you anymore right now, and I wouldn't expect it to. But to you that are older, to you that are my age, to you that are older than me, you understand this, that these physical bodies of ours bear a lot of scars, some physically, some emotionally, but they bear a lot of scars. And we are, by the very virtue of things, getting weaker and weaker. But you also understand that as we get older, there is a strength inside of us that seems to be fresh and vital and new every single day. Amen? That's why our octogenarians and nongenarians and centenarians, or whatever that word is, for those in their hundreds who love Jesus, their bodies may be wrinkled and frail and old, but I tell you, inside, they've got a freshness in their spirit, and they're looking forward to being with Jesus. Amen? Why is that? Because the outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed every single day. Hallelujah. Verse 17. Our light affliction is but for a moment. How dare Paul say that? How dare him say, this is a light affliction that I'm going through? How dare you, pastor, stand up there and say to me that the affliction that I'm going through is a light thing? It's because in verse 17, he's not saying your burden isn't heavy. He's just saying, compared to eternity and the glory that you're going to share, it is a very light thing compared to what you're going to have someday. Amen? It doesn't matter what we're going through in this life. Paul compares it. Look at the verse. He compares it to the far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Light and weight. Those are the two key words. The light affliction that Paul was going through, the light affliction you and I are going through, compared to eternity, is just small compared to the weight and the awesomeness of what God is preparing for those who love Him. Hallelujah. That's what we can rejoice over. Now, it doesn't mean we make light of what people are going through. Not at all. But because some of you are going through some very hard things, and I certainly respect that, and I don't want to make light of that at all. But my job is to encourage you and to let you know that whatever it is, compared to what God has planned for you in eternity, it doesn't hold a candle to that. We could take all day trying to describe what heaven will be, and we couldn't do it. But one thing I know is that anything we're battling with here, we won't be battling with it up there. Amen? Amen. Finally, verse 18. While we don't look at the things that are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We live in a temporary world, temporary planet, if you will. And according to the scriptures, this one will be destroyed by fire at some point. And then there's going to be a new one coming down from God out of heaven. Amen? There's going to be a new one. And we're going to be with the Lord, we that follow Jesus Christ. Because this one, it's wearing out. Now, I'm not worried about an asteroid. I'm not worried about a super volcano. I'm not worried about those kind of things. I mean, those things may happen, but the fact is we're going to be with the Lord in heaven when this earth is done, when we're finished down here. Because this is all temporary, but heaven is forever and ever and ever. Let me read Romans 8:18 and we're done. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Praise God. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So shine, Jesus, shine. Shine through my life. Let this cracked pot reflect the glory of the Lord and the treasure that's inside of it. So for whoever is here today, chances are good 90% of you didn't even need to hear this. Turn on your radio and you'll probably hear a much better sermon by a much better pastor. But for those who did, don't be discouraged. Your future is a lot brighter than the enemy wants you to know. And all of those things that may be throwing you to the floor are the very things that are going to bring glory to Jesus, because you're going to get back up. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's stand together, please. Father, thank you today for the privilege that we have to be able to read your word and declare its truth to our congregation. To those folks who have slipped in today and worshiped with us, many, many regular attenders, some visitors, thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to be able to declare strongly and mightily that God is in control, and that though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. Their lives, their treasure inside of them can be renewed. Help us, Lord, to take the practical aspects of this message right along with us when we leave. That treasure inside of us that enables us to say, I love you, I forgive you, I have compassion. I want to understand. I want to help you. All of those things are treasures that we can only do because of the presence of the Lord inside of us. Thank you for each family that's here, each husband, each wife, each single individual, Lord, single dad, single mom, Lord. Thank you for every older person that's here, every younger person that's here. Lord Jesus, help them to know that inside of them there is a precious treasure that God has put there by His Holy Spirit. And that is what can shine out through their lives in this world that we live. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Let's thank the Lord for His goodness today. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Be blessed. Be dismissed. Have a wonderful week. And if not before, we'll see you next Sunday in God's house.